to 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2. As we have been celebrating our 60th anniversary, the theme has been Found Faithful. And I'm thankful for everyone's been getting involved in that. And we've been talking about what it means to be faithful to God. In 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2, which is our theme verse, 1 Corinthians 4, 2, it says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Found faithful. That word faithfulness means consistency, full of faith, being motivated by the fact that we have great confidence in the one who saved us, the one who created us, as we'll talk about in just a second. But we are a steward of everything God has given us. We're going to look at that in just a minute as well. And today I want to talk to you about the idea of partnering with God. Now, as a child, we'd play basketball and things, and we were never sure if we were going to win until Scott showed up. When Scott came, we won. If Scott wasn't there, we didn't win because we just weren't all that coordinated. But Scott had a grace about him that he could sink a shot from anywhere around the court. He was great at dribbling. He could cut through the crowd and through the defense. And he couldn't dunk, but boy, he could sure get close. But we knew if we had Scott on our team, there was no way we couldn't lose because we'd just feed him the ball and run the plays. And that's just it. You know, there are certain people that you work with that if they're there on the day you're having a problem, you praise God. Why? Because you know as a team member, they make everything better. They make you successful. Are you that team member? Are you that person that when you're working with people, they're excited you're there because they know they're going to win. They know they're going to get it done. I want to talk to you about making God your partner in all of your endeavors, in everything you do. God linked with you. As I said, when Noah got on the ark, he was in the minority. But when he got off the ark, he was in the majority. He was mocked when he got on the ark. But when he got off, he had authority over everything. You know, you plus God is a majority. No matter how dark the times look, no matter how bleak the circumstances, you plus God is a majority in all things. So you have to ask yourself, how do I partner with God? How do I get God on my team? Well, the truth is, it's not your team. It's you getting on God's team. That's really what it is. You know, you say, because we'll say that, how do I get my wife on my team? How do I get my kids on my team? The truth is, we're on God. We want to get on God's team. And if we're on God's team, we're going to win. And you know what I'm talking about. If you're like me, it was the last guy picked at every sport in grade school. You knew which team you wanted to be on, but sometimes you weren't always on that one because you knew which one was going to win based on who made up the team. Well, as long as you're on God's team, you're going to win. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Do you realize that God owns everything? Yeah. Everything. Take your Bible, go to 1 Chronicles chapter number 29. Everybody needs a Bible. It's after 1 Samuel and Kings, you will find Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter number 29 and verse number 11. Follow along with me, please. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11. If you found it, say amen. Amen. All right, so let's read it out loud together as a family. Nice and loud. Everybody found it, so here we go. "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all." Now, we sing a lot of songs about majesty and glory and honor. Those are good things. But we don't always think about the fact that God actually owns everything. By right of creation, Psalms 24 and verse 1, the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That means everything that comes out of the earth. And they that dwell therein, that's you and I, that's every human being that's ever been conceived, they belong to God. Everything belongs to God. The dirt you walk on, the air you breathe, it all belongs to God. He created it. It is His. He owns it. He is the owner. He is the original equipment manufacturer, and He holds the deed to it all. People say, we're going to be studying Revelation here in the adult class with Brother Johnny's class. And if you haven't got in on that, you need to. And it's awesome. But Jesus is going to grab that scroll and open the title deed to the earth and pour out God's wrath. He owns the deed. But did you know that not only does God own everything, God owns you. by right of creation and by right of salvation. Take your Bible, go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Now I need to establish this. Who do you belong to? Now some people find that very, very demeaning. Some people would find that question very, you know, demeaning or defacing. But the truth is, when I was little, older folks would say, now whose kid are you? Who you belong to, boy? Which one do you belong to? You know, and the truth is, who do you belong to? Who is the owner of you? If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God bought you at Calvary. Look at 1 Corinthians 6, then verse 19. What? Know ye not? Don't you know this? That your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you. When you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you repented. You realized you couldn't get to heaven on your good works. You turned from your sin unto God, confessing it and saying, God, save me. I believe Jesus died for me. At that moment, the Holy Spirit of God came inside you. Now look what it says here. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. You're not the owner. If you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, say amen. Let me tell you something. You don't own you. Your name is not on the deed anymore. Satan's name was taken off and Christ was put on. Look at the next verse. For ye are bought with a price. You were not free. Look at this. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. God owns everything. Lost or saved, doesn't matter. God owns you. By right of creation. And then for those that are saved, he doubly owns you because of salvation. We are not to be the servants of men. We're not to be the slaves of men. We're to be the servant of God. You're there in 1 Corinthians 6. Look at 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 23. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 23. The Bible says, ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Now, I'm not here to talk to you about debt, but if you're in debt, you need to get out of debt. I'm not mad at anybody. It's none of my business. But I'm telling you right now, you're not to be the slave to the lender. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:7 that the borrower is slave to the lender. I'm not a slave. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you have a mortgage? I'm not against mortgages now. I got one. But if I don't do what the man said I'm supposed to do when I'm supposed to do it, I will suffer the consequences. Do you got a car loan? I've had car loans. And if I don't do what the man said to do when the man said to do it, I suffer the consequences. So when the Bible says that the borrower is slave to the lender, let me tell you what, he knew what he was talking about. The Bible said, the word debt in the Bible is aphileo, that which brings me under a burden. So let me tell you something. When you're not able to do the things God wants you to do because you're a slave to the lender, you need to get debt free. That's all free. We'll talk about this another time. But I just want to tell you that's how it is. You are God's steward. Because, see, when you're in debt, you are promising away future income. That's why it's called a promissory note. You're borrowing from the future. You don't have any right to. All right? But you're God's steward. Remember what it said in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2? We are God's servant. We are his steward. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2. Moreover, it is required. Let's start in verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards. Now, a steward is somebody who manages the resources of the owner for the owner's benefit. A steward is not managing his own. He has his own affairs, but if I hire you to be my steward, I'm hiring you to be my business manager, the guy who manages my stuff for my benefit. That's your job. That's what a steward does. You are the steward of the things of God. God owns everything. God owns you. And everything you have was given to you by the Lord, by the way. I don't know if you know that or not. But everything you have was given to you by God. He owns it all. Take your Bible. I don't think you believe me. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Look at this now. Deuteronomy chapter 8. I ain't mad at nobody, but I want to show you the truth. I want to show you the truth. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. Look what it says in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is the fifth book of the Bible written by Moses, chapter 8 and verse 18. But thou shalt remember. Do you see this now? I want you to pay attention. I forget things. Do you forget things? I have the hereafters. I go into a room and I can't remember what I'm here after. Right? If you haven't had that happen, trust me, it's coming. Do you ever forget the names of your children? You're looking at one and you're mad, and it's my mom would always say, Bill, Jim, Dave, John. You ever do that? Just wait. That doesn't happen in a multi-child home, but it happens in everybody else's. It only happens in a multi-child home. If you've got one kid, you only got to remember one name. But God says that he provides everything. Look what it says. We need to remember. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for remember. Stop and think about that for a second. We are to remember God, who he is, what he's done. For it is he, God, that giveth thee, that's you, that's hillbilly for you, and I speak hillbilly, look at this, for it is God that giveth you power to get wealth. That mind you got that allows you to think and be useful, God gave you that. That physical ability that you got to get you out of bed, put your uniform on, goes to work on time, knows how to drive, knows how to take care of things, know how to be profitable for the owner of your business or your company or your government agency, that gave to you by God. I've seen God take it away. Job said, the Lord, naked came I from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do you understand your abilities? God gave them to you. Those little talents you have, the knack you have, the ability to learn and grow, those were given to you by God. I've seen God take those away. We're not going to talk about abilities and talents today. We'll talk about that another time. But I am really getting sick and tired of every time I turn on some TV show how that somebody who got their start in God's choir turned out to prostitute their abilities and use it for the devil. I get real sick and tired of that. Why? Because God gave you that talent. God gave you that ability. And you prostitute it for the world. Let me tell you something. God owns you. God owns you by right of creation. God owns you by right of salvation. And God is your only provider. The Bible says in Acts 17:25, seeing he giveth to all life, breath, and all things. Look at 1 Timothy. Go all the way back to the book. Now, I ain't mad at nobody. I'm just kind of passionate today. Look at this. 1 Timothy chapter number 6 and verse 17. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. Now, this is a couple weeks ago. We were talking about what it means to be a faithful steward, somebody who is faithful. Last week, we talked about being faith-filled. The fact that my confidence in God is so strong and so high that what I know of him and his character, thus I can obey, and I'm happy to do so because I know who it is I'm obeying. Look at 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world. Now, right there, y'all went, well, this don't apply to me because I ain't rich. Trust me. The bulk of humanity would look at you and trade with you and go, you're rich. That's right. The bulk of humanity lives in the 1040 window, just wants a handful of rice. They'd trade with you in a moment. They'd sleep in your bed, drive your car, work your job, and kiss their wife and go, hey, we landed in heaven to trade with you. So you're rich. This applies to you. Charge them. Timothy said, Timothy, listen, you tell those folks down there at that church that they be not high-minded. Don't think too big of themselves, nor trust in uncertain riches. Oh, I don't play the market. Oh, let me tell you something. That house you bought, I bought a house in Arkansas, and we thought we were doing good. We thought we got a deal till the housing market crashed. Nobody saw that one coming. And all of a sudden, now I'm 30% upside down. How did that happen? Because it's uncertain. The riches of this world are uncertain. You can't put your faith and trust in that. Now look what he says here. Be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. They should trust in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Now, God owns everything. God made everything. God gave it to you for your management, for his benefit. You're a steward. Now, how do we be a good steward? We be faithful. We be faithful with the family God's given us. We be faithful with the finances God gave us. We be faithful with the relationships, the friends that we have. Be faithful to the fellowship of the church, Hebrews 10. We're to be faithful to the Word of God, to the faith itself. And there is a reward to faithfulness. Remember when we looked at this last week? Take your Bible, go to Psalms 1. Psalms 1. There is a reward for being faithful. As stewards of God, as managers of God's resources for God's benefit, that's who we are, that's what you are, God has entrusted you with things, you're to manage them for his benefit. If we will be faithful, we will then be blessable. Look at Psalms 1. Blessed, happy, full, complete, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You want to be blessable? You want God to be able to bless you? Don't go after ungodly counsel. Seek godly counsel. Number two, you want to be blessable? Have a clean testimony. He that standeth not in the way of sinners. It's a terrible thing to think, a terrible thought to have, but to think that because of the way you live and the things you say and what you value, you've turned people away from God. You've stood in the way of a sinner. That's a horrible thought. You want to be blessable? Don't do that. Point people to Jesus. You want to be a success? Love God. Be faithful to try to keep people out of hell. Be faithful to your family. You'll be a success. Look at this now. You want to be blessable? Seek godly counsel. You want to be blessable? Have a clean testimony. Number three, you want to be blessable? Submit to God-ordained authority. It says, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Do you see that? Scorning is when you mock authority. When you mock authority. Teenagers, when you talk back to your parents, even if it's under your breath and they can't hear you, you are scorning. God will pluck your eye out, the Bible says. You don't do that. God, listen, God hears, God remembers, God recompenses. You're scorning. You're not blessable. God can't bless you. You want to be faithful, then be faithful. Be blessable. Put yourself in a position where you can be blessed. And God talks about prospering. 47 times God talks about prospering. I'm not talking about the prosperity gospel where you give me $1,000 and God will give you a million. That's garbage and hogwash. But you can be blessed, and if you'll be faithful with what God gives you, He will prosper you. Now, you may not prosper when you're trying to compare yourself to the person living next to you, but in God's economy, He'll prosper you. Look at it, says here in verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's God blessing the works of your hands. He's not going to drop a bucket of money through your roof, but he'll bless the works of your hands. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written there. And that's obedience to God's word. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. He'll bless not only you as a person, but he will bless the works of your hands. This is what it means. This is the reward of faithfulness, because it is God who causes you to prosper, to have a successful journey through life. That's what John wanted for his friend Gaius in 3 John, all the way in the back of the book. He said, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. I want you to have a successful journey through life. And remember, I told you, contentment is really wanting the things you have. I have all I want because I want the things I have. But when you're blessable, when you put yourself in a position where God can bless you and prospering you, it's because you're partnering with God. You're partnering with Him. You're coming alongside with the same mindset, same heart that God has, and He's going to prosper you. Now, we partner with God by being a faithful steward. We partner with God by being a faithful steward. We also partner with God by honoring Him. Take your Bible, go to Proverbs 3, Proverbs chapter 3. Now, the word honor talks about reverence, veneration, an act by which a reverence or submission is expressed, worship, showing God His worth. We're honoring Him. The greatest form of worship is obedience, of course. But you're partnering with God when you honor Him. Now, take your Bible, go to Proverbs 3 in verse 1. My son, forget not my law. Do you need to be reminded of things from time to time? I know I do. Right? That's what he's saying. Don't forget my law. Let thine heart keep my commandments. Don't just memorize them, but make them a part of your life. For length of days and long life, more hours in your day, God blesses the works of your hands. He makes you more efficient and effective during the day. Don't you wish you had 2 or 3 hours extra in a day sometimes when you just like cash it in? Oh, I'm going to cash this one in. I need a couple extra hours, huh? For length of days, more hours in your day and long life. That's more days in your life. More hours in your day, more days in your life, and peace in your heart shall they add to thee. Look at verse number 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tables of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor. You know what favor is? Favor is when a little child runs over to you and puts their hands up. And your heart fills with that feeling you don't have a word for. That's called favor. When your heart fills, and I always want to pick them up, that's you looking on them with favor. So look at that verse again. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Take God's truth. God says there's things that are true. I want you to have them. Bind them about your neck. Take them with you wherever you go. Write them on the tables of your heart. Make them who you are. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Isn't that cool? Wouldn't that be great to have favor with man? Some of we've got folks in here looking for a job. What makes you more employable than the person next to you when you're equally qualified, equally degreed? God says, hire that one. It's the favor of God. Look at the next one. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Is there some things that you don't understand? Yeah, there's all kinds of things that I don't understand. I don't understand why we had 4 miscarriages. I don't understand why people get sick and die early. Why I don't understand these things. But I know God understands these things. And because God understands and God knows, that's enough. That's enough for me. I may not always understand, but I know He does. And that's good enough. But look at this now. He says, lean not unto thine own understanding in all thy ways. Now circle that and over in the column put habits. Habits. In all thy ways, thy lifestyle choices. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. You know what acknowledging means? That means when you make eye contact and recognize that they're there. 4 people in Fairfax County have died by being hit by a car since the first year. You know what? You walk around with your nose in this phone, you're in trouble. Do you understand? You're not acknowledging what's going on around you. Maybe you think to yourself, well, pedestrians have the right of way. But do you ever think maybe the guy driving the 5,200-pound car at 35 miles an hour has got his nose in his phone and he's not acknowledging you? Your rights get awfully hollow when the car runs you over. I'm not saying that's what happened, but you know what I mean. You pull up to a stop sign at the same time as somebody else, you're kind of like, hey, do you see me? Can I pull out? Wouldn't you like to have remote control brake, like in an app on your phone? Here's some guy. I'm not sure he's going to stop. He's kind of, okay, now I'll go. Huh? Don't you do that? You pull up, you're like, hey, can you see me? Can I pull out now? Are you going to stop? Is that a stop? Okay, just making sure. That's acknowledging. Do you do that with the Lord? Do you acknowledge that He's there, that He's awake, that He's alive, that He's interested in you, that He has an opinion, that He cares? Look what it says here. Yeah, look what it says here. And it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Wouldn't that be awesome? Now look at that next one. I mean, well, do you acknowledge God in your habits? Are you acknowledging God in your driving habits? In the way you love your wife or your husband or your kids? Are you acknowledging God in the things you read? Are you acknowledging God in your entertainment? Are you acknowledging God in the way you interact with your neighbors and the way you pay your bills? Yeah, in the way you pay your bills. Because, you know, people talk. And they won't say, well, that doggone Leo. What they'll say is that doggone Baptist. Those Baptists, they don't pay their bills. Because what happens is lost world hunts us down with a shotgun and they hit the whole church. Your testimony matters because your testimony affects every one of us. People are like, well, why do you church people are so judgmental. No, the way you live affects how people think of Christ and think about Christ's church. And you ever wonder why the church in America is devalued by this generation? It's because people didn't live right. They didn't do right. And they besmirched the testimony of God. That's the truth now. That's the way it is. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He'll direct that path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You do right. You acknowledge God. You fear God. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Wouldn't it be great to have health? My kids play these video games and they have the little health meter. Wouldn't it be great if you and I could go someplace like a Tesla and just plug in and get some more health? Wouldn't you like to be your age but feel like you're 25? Amen. If I could know what I know now and be in a body of a 25-year-old, that's not a guy I want to meet in a dark alley. Right? Because old people know how they're going to hurt you. Young people don't know what they're going to do. Old people do. I got folks in this church kill you in 3 languages. I'm telling you. But don't you want some more health? Wouldn't you like the great physician to do a house call on you? Now look what it says. Verse number 9, honor the Lord. We are to honor the Lord. We're to show him reverence, worship. We're to acknowledge him. Honor the Lord with thy substance. Now those are the things you possess. That's your the things I subsist of. The things you have, the clothes you have, the vehicles you drive, the property you own, the furniture, everything you have. You're to honor God with those things because they were given to you by God and he wants a return on his investment. You're just managing God's stuff. People say, what are you going to do? That truck's broke down. Well, not my truck because I bought a Ford. But let's just imagine my truck was broke down. I'd say, well, it's God's truck, you know. God, what do you want me to do with that? It's his. Honor the Lord. Look at it now. Honor the Lord with thy substance. Now listen, until you honor the Lord with your substance, you're missing the point. Because if you can't honor God with what you have right now, you can't honor God with what you're going to get. Look what it says here. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. What are the first fruits? The first fruits is the tithe. Your substance are the things you own. Your clothes, your car, your house, your furniture. And God expects a return on that. The first fruits are what you're going to get. That's the tithe. The tithe is, how much is a tithe? 10%. We know that from 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 15 and 17. What is the tithe supposed to be paid on? The gross, the net? How about we do what the Bible says? It's supposed to be paid on increase. That's what it says. However, God has increased you. It's the first fruits of all thine increase. Well, what's an increase? Well, a lot of people are gross tithers because the word gross is not, the only place the word gross is used in the Bible is not talking about money. It's talking about having a thick heart that's hard. And not willing to follow God. That's what gross means in the Bible. But a gross tither is somebody who takes a paycheck and goes, this is how much I was paid. God gets 10%. I give it to God. That's gross tithing. But the devil wants us to argue all the time. He wants us to get asking the wrong questions. Well, do I tithe on this or do I tithe on that? Or the question is it increase? Is it increased? Let me give you some examples. Well, this is my paycheck. Well, what? But that's after taxes. Well, yeah, they took taxes out. Okay, I'm a private contractor. Do you know nobody takes taxes out? It's my responsibility to pay my taxes. It's my responsibility to pay my Social Security. Did you know that? It's my responsibility to pay my state taxes. So that means I was increased by the entire amount. Hello, is there no other contractors in this crowd today? You know what I'm talking about. You were increased for the whole amount. Your company just did you a solid by paying it for you. Well, not really paying it for you. They took your money and gave it to the government so you wouldn't have to fool with it. It's still your money. That's why a lot of preachers will say, well, you need to tithe on your tax return. Really? Isn't that your money that you already tithe but overpaid the government and you're getting it back? Now, you can tithe on your tax return. Nobody's going to be mad at you for that. God loves a cheerful giver. But the truth is, it's your money. It's not really increase. You overpaid the government. Well, they got their fingers too far into your pockets, what they did, and they're giving some back. Is it increase? The first fruits of all your increase. Now, is tithing giving? No. This is how tithing works. Brian, imagine I had a crisp $100 bill. Do you like $100 bills? They're pretty. They really are. I love dead presidents, especially when they're on little papers about that big. Okay, so let's say I give Brian $100. I say, Brian, you take this and cash it and give me back 10 and you can keep the 90. Would you throw that in my face and go, that's legalism. That's Old Testament. Or would you go, okay, here's your 10. I get to keep the 90. That's what tithing is. Tithing is God gives you it all and says, I want you to cash that and just give me back 10 as a sign of worship. That's how tithing really works. Oh, the tithe was nailed to the cross at Calvary. Really? I really wish thou shalt not kill was nailed to the cross at Calvary because there's some folks I'd like to take out. That's Old Testament too, right? No, it's New Testament as well, 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2. As God hath increased you, See, tithing's good. Tithing's not bad. Did you know this is not a rule you get to decide whether or not you obey it? Did you know that? Your belief doesn't contradict the truth. And ignorance of the law is not justification for it. So let's recap. We're supposed to honor God. We're supposed to be faithful in our stewardship, but we're also to honor God with our possessions and with the first fruits of our increase. That's what it is. That means who's supposed to tithe? Well, everybody, not just saved folks. Anybody that's received the blessings of God. And if you're sucking God's air, you've received his blessings. Now, you don't have to believe like me. That's all right. But if you want God to be your business partner, then you need to honor God. Take your Bible, go to Leviticus chapter 27. Leviticus chapter 27. Look what it reads. Leviticus chapter 27. Leviticus 27 and verse 30. Look what it says here. We're supposed to honor God with the stuff we have and the increase we get. Look what it says here, Leviticus 27 and verse 30. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, it is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. That means everything come out of the ground. That includes the gas you drive in your car and the metal that made your car because it came out of the ground, and the food you eat, it came out of the ground. I don't understand how a black cow drinks green grass and makes white milk, but I don't have to understand. God knows. But it came out of the ground. God gets a tithe on that. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereunto a fifth part. That means some of us, before we knew about tithing, or even after, there are several, I've got people now I talk to that don't believe in this. And they have taken that which is God's and used it for their own gain. If that means they've redeemed it. They've took it back from God to use it. That means God still gets, is supposed to get his tithe, but you're supposed to add a 20% interest on it when you use God's stuff without honoring him with it. You're to add a fifth part. A fifth is 20%. Isn't that interesting? Now, you don't have to believe like me. Because people say, maybe you're in here today and you're going, preachers, all they talk about is money. No, that's not true. You know, the truth is, I don't care whether you follow this or not. I didn't invite you here to sell you something. I don't count the money. I don't know who gives what. It's none of my business. But I want to be an obedient child. I want God to bless me. And I want God to prosper the works of my hands. I want God to be my partner. And to do that, I have to honor. Well, excuse me. Let me rephrase that. I want to be God's partner. Amen. It's not about me. It's about I want to get on God's team. And I want to honor God with my substance. And I want to honor God with the first fruits of my increase. I want to be God's business partner. Now, who's supposed to tithe? Everybody. What are you supposed to tithe on? Increase. However God has increased you. However form that comes. And if I've used God's stuff and didn't give him a tithe on it, I owe him an interest on that. You say, I don't believe like that. That's fine. Like I said, I didn't charge you to come today. Nor did I offer to sell you something. And I don't know who gives what. Does it matter when you tithe? Well, yes. In 1 Corinthians 16:2, Paul tells them when to tithe. Look at this, 1 Corinthians 16:2. Now, you think this is Old Testament. No, it's New Testament. This is the church at Corinth. Paul is instructing them how to behave. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2, upon the first day of the week. When is that? That's Sunday. How many Sundays do we get a month? Three or, you know, four, sometimes five, right? On the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. That means through the week, as God increases you, you set it aside. Look at this. As God hath prospered, that there be no gatherings when I come. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? So you're to give it on Sunday. See, when you get paid, when you get increased, if you write a tithe on it before you do anything else, you're saying to God, here, I honor you. Now, these bills over here, they're yours. How do you want me to handle it? How do you want me to handle it? Well, I tithe at the end of the month. Why? Well, there might be an emergency. So what you're saying is there's something may come up that God don't know about. Can God supply all your need, yes or no? Amen. Philippians 4:19, either he can or he can't. And if he can't, then we're all wasting our time. Well, that's why I have a Visa card, because there might be an emergency. So God needs Visa to underwrite God's economy, because Visa's bigger than God. Wow, got quiet in here. You all love your credit cards. Huh? Come on now, I love you. I ain't mad at nobody. But either God can take care of you if you do it his way, or he can't. See, here's what happens is, if you got little kids, you know what I'm talking about. They'll grab a hold, you'll go, here, hold daddy's hand. And they're like, no. And they'll toddle off until they fall down. And they'll skin their little knees. You walk over and drop kick them. No, you don't. Do you don't do it, do you? No, you pick them up, you dust off their little knees, you kiss their boo-boos, and you say, now, hold daddy's hand. As long as they hold your hand, they're safe, they're secure, they're sure-footed. See, the problem is a lot of us get into a financial mess because when we're like, no, I got it, God goes, go ahead, I'll let you. I'll let you handle it. You want to handle it? I love you, go right ahead. And maybe you're in a mess because you've been letting you handle it. See, you want God to get on your team, that ain't how it works. You need to get on God's team. You need to be God's partner. God's already got the business and the corporation running. You need to just plug in and say, all right, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be your partner. You gave me all this stuff. Now I'm going to manage it for your glory and for your benefit, and I'm going to do it your way. And I'm going to honor you with the things you've already given me. Has it dawned on you that God has given you everything he can currently trust you with? Why don't I have $1 million? You know, God's got all the money there is. Sure enough. Why don't you have it? Because God can't trust you with it. Oh, preacher, if I just win the lotto, if I win the Powerball, I'm going to do great things for God. How about you just do great things for God with what you got? And let God increase you. Because make yourself more trustworthy. How about you do that? You'd have more if he could trust you with more. There are some people in this world he can trust a whole lot with. There are Christian men and women who have done great things with lots of money, but that's because God could trust them, that none of them would stick to them. Wow, got quiet. Take your Bible, turn over to Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. It's easier to find Matthew and turn back a page. It's right before the New Testament. It's the last thing God talked to Israel about. Take your Bible, go to Malachi. Malachi chapter number 3, brothers and sisters. We need to get on God's team. We need to partner up with God. Malachi chapter 3, look what it says in verse 7. Even from the days of your fathers, ye have gone away from mine ordinances. What? You've walked away from what you knew was right. You haven't been doing right and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you. See, that's the problem. We want God to show up into our... We want God to come to us. No. He's not the one that moved. He's not the one that left. He's not the one that walked away. We have. I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Where did we walk away from you? Where did we stop following you? Okay, good answer. Verse 8. Will a man rob God? Now, that I find that phrase funny. Will a man... Will you rob me? Me. It's like God saying, do you know who I am? I'm the one that created everything. I'm the one that scooped out the oceans with my hands and piled up the mountains. I'm the one that keeps earth just in that Goldilocks zone. I'm the one that gave you air to breathe in your lungs. I'm the guy who made everything you eat and drink. I'm the one that holds it all together. I'm the one that can, I made you, I can take you out, and I can make another one look just like you. That's where my mama got it from, right there, was she got that from God. It's like, will a man... You're going to rob me? Now, people say, well, not tithing is robbing from God. No, that's not the definition of robbery. Imagine getting mugged. What a criminal mastermind. I'm going to rob you by not giving to you. You're not going to get real good at that, are you? No, robbery is not giving. Okay? The definition of robbery is forcible and feloniously taking any money or goods from another person by putting them in fear by of bodily harm and violence or personal death. So let me put that into language John Mix understands. Look at verse 8. Will a man threaten me with bodily harm and steal that which belongs to me? Yet ye have threatened me with bodily harm and stolen that which belongs to me. But ye saying, where have we threatened you with bodily harm and stolen that which belongs to you? In tithes and offerings. Not only does the tithe belong to the Lord, but an offering on top that shows our love belongs to the Lord. You know, when a missionary comes and they show you slides of little bitty kids with bugs in their hair and flies running around their ears and tells you about how you're gonna die and go to hell if you don't give, and your heart breaks and you cry and you put money in the offering plate because you love lost little kids in Africa. That's what an offering is. God says that the tithes are His. 10% of our increase is His. Number two, we're to honor Him in the offering as well. On top of that, you took that which belonged to God without regard for God. You just stole from your business partner. You know, if you can be faithful with the things God gives you, or has already given you, excuse me, then you'll be faithful with the stuff God gives you in the future. Interesting. Look at verse number 9. Ye are cursed with a curse. That means you're not going to prosper. You're not. God's hand of blessing is off you. That's why your finances are in a mess. That's why you can't get ahead. That's why you fight with your spouse. That's why you hide things from your spouses so you don't want to argue. Why? Because you haven't figured out that God is letting you handle it instead of getting involved with what He's doing. You're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me. Ye have taken that which does not belong to you and threatened me and saying, your God, I'll take it. Even this whole nation. You know, there was a time when America lended to other nations. And now we're the biggest borrowing nation. You know, there was a time we didn't have nursing homes and welfare. And that's because the church took care of their own. We took care of our elderly. We took care of our sick and infirm. We took care of our people. And the farther we got away from God's word, the closer we got to the government and the more they're involved in our mess. Verse 10, bring. You want to fix this? Bring. That's a simple command, but it requires a voluntary effort. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Now circle that word storehouse, and over in the margin write, the First Baptist Church of Kingstown. That's what a storehouse is. How do you get that, preacher? I don't know if I believe that. Well, look what it says. That there may be meat in my house. I love folks on the family, but it ain't my house. It ain't God's house. I like Easter seals and Jerry's kids, but that ain't God's house. The tithe don't go to the guy on the internet. Tithe goes to your local church. That's where it goes. And you say to yourself, well, I don't believe that way. Well, listen, it's no skin off my nose. Whatever you do or don't do isn't going to affect my income. You do like you want. But I'm telling you, God will prosper you and bless you if you do it His way. Now, you don't do it His way, don't complain. My buddy, Brother Bob Gray, he has a counseling office. And people come in for all kinds of reasons. They will. They'll come in for whatever their struggles are. And I'll do that too. I'll counsel you. I will. But Brother Bob, he's a rough old codger. Brother Bob, he'd come in and Brother Gray would say, okay, I've looked at the attendance records. You're not in church faithful. Before I hear what your problem is, do you understand God's not going to bless you because you're not faithful? Are you reading your Bible? Not like you should. Okay, God's not going to bless you until you're faithful. Are you praying? Well, I pray. Well, yeah, but do you just pray about what you need, or is that all you do? Okay, well, God ain't going to bless you until you pray. Are you tithing? Do I need to get the tithe record? No, sir, I'm not. Okay, so you're not reading, you're not praying, you're not tithing, you're not going to church like you should, and you're not being faithful with what God gave you. Are you surprised you're sitting in my office? That's what he'd say to people, but he's right. Are you surprised? You haven't been faithful with what God gave you, and you're having trouble. Now, look, I'm not saying life's going to be problem-free. Far from it. But are you trying to get God on your team, or are you getting on God's team? God's team, you'll win. God's team, you'll be successful. You cannot sin and win. You cannot violate Scripture and prosper. God won't let it happen. That there may be meat in my house. Is this your church, or is this just where you attend? I remember when I got saved, we were at the Town and Country Baptist Church. What happened was there was this old Catholic building. It made beautiful stone with these big ornate wooden beams, right? But nobody had been in it for 20 years. So paint's peeling everywhere and the old stained glass is falling out, need to be glazed. But I got saved. And I'm in church and you know, the place is kind of dingy. And I'm like, man, somebody ought to do something about that. And then one day, the preacher wanted to put in a baptistry. Now, it's a Catholic church, so there's no room for something, Miss April. So what he bought was, he bought one of these pulpits that was like this big. And it was a baptistry. He took the lid off. Mike, you ever seen one of those? And he said, Brother Mix, I'd like to get us a curtain that would come across here so we could pull it and baptize people. And I thought, well, preacher, how much do you think those would cost? And he said, I don't know. So I went home to Mrs. Mix. I said, Mrs. Mix, we ought to get us a, preacher said, we ought to get us a curtain. Sarah's like, well, let's go out to Joe Fro Fabrics. Joann Fabrics, okay? And I'm like, okay. So we went out to Joann Fabrics. We bought some curtains. Mrs. Mix sewed them up. And we brought them in, put them up. And it changed my view of the church. Because people would walk in the back door. Back then I had those leisure suits with those big old lapels that looked like napkins sticking out the side. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, hello, my name's John. Welcome to First Baptist Church. We're so glad, or it was the Town and Country Baptist Church. We're so glad to have you. Let me ask you a question. Hey, what do you think of those curtains? It went from being a place I attend to my church. You know, on Monday morning, Brother Mike, the treasurer, has to get out the bills. Those are your bills. Because it's your church. Hello. People come to me and say, Preacher, those children are writing on the walls. Well, go tell them to stop. Well, somebody ought to do something about that. You can slap a kid in Jesus' name. Just kidding, don't do that. Don't do that. Nancy, you didn't hear that. Miss Pelosi, don't even put that on there. It's your, well, do something. It's your church. Well, they're writing in the hymn books. Well, say something. Is this just where you attend? Or is this God's house? Is this your church? Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. Look what it says. And prove me. Go on and test me. Test me now. Come on. Let me show you what I can do when you partner with me instead of trying to get me to partner with you. Look what it says here. Prove me now with. God doesn't ever do that. When God gives you a command, God says, just do it. My dad had a way of just saying, shut up and do it. Okay. In the hillbilly, that's what he's saying. Prove me now, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. You know, if they walk on streets of gold in heaven, what do you suppose they throw out the windows? Right? That's a blessing. God is going to dump blessings on you. Now, listen, if you'll get on God's team, if you will not only be faithful what God gave you for his benefit, you will honor God with what he's entrusted you with. The possessions as well as the increase. God will bless you. Prove me now therewith. The Bible says the blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow to it. Now look at verse 11. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall the vine cast her fruit before thy time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. What's God saying? Not only will I bless you, but I will run interference for you. I'll run interference for you. I'll bless the works of your hands. And I will make what you do prosper if you're partnered with me. You're going to be waiting a while if you want me to partner with you. Look what it says. Saith the Lord of hosts, and all nations shall call you blessed. For ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. You know, you are partnering with God when you're faithful. You're partnering with God when you're a faithful steward of the things he's given you. You're partnering with him when you honor him with your tithe. That's 10% of however God has increased you. As a private, I'm just going to be straight with you. As a private contractor, the church don't take money from me to pay my taxes or take money from me to pay my Social Security. That's on me. My car allowance, my housing allowance, my health insurance premium. I tithe on that because I was increased.
Because I would rather tithe on the premium than tithe on the benefit. What? What? Can you trust him? That's really all faith is. Faith is my confidence level in God. Do I have confidence that I am partnering with the right person? Otherwise, I'm doing it by myself. And I get what I get. Honoring him is to show him reverence. To put him first and say, you're my God. I'm your servant. The results are up to you. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Now you say to yourself, well, I just learned about this. No one's ever talked to me about this. That's all right. Then get on a plan. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Then let's get on the plan. Let's put God first. Let's honor him with our tithes of our increase and our substance. Let's get on a plan and get out of debt. Because I'm telling you, you will do more. God will do more with the 90% he lets you keep than the 100% you think is yours. Our Father and our God, we love you. We ask God, please, that you would bless and speak to every heart and every soul, that you would help us to do thy blessed will. Father, that you would be honored and glorified in all that is said or done. And Father, that we would partner with you and we would be faithful to you. And Father, that others would see the blessings upon us and want to know you. Father, if there's one among us today that's lost, who's yet to trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I ask, Father, that they would see how much you love them, that they would see just how holy you are and how sinful we are and how bad they need a Savior just like we did. And God, that you would be glorified in all cases. It is you that we worship in Jesus' name. Amen. As Mrs. Mix plays and sings, the altar is open. Every head bowed, every eye closed, as she begins to play. Well, preacher, I haven't been faithful. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, preacher, I know I've supposed to have been tithing for the past 20 years and I haven't done it. God says, if you'll confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Miss Mix.
Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets.
Have you been saved? Mistakes. If you died, you sure you're going to go to heaven? Have you trusted Christ?
There's no reason to wait.
Have you been scripturally baptized by immersion? After salvation? With proper authority? Have you been baptized under?
Bring your sorrows and trade
Come.
Them.
We'll take candidates. We'd be happy to.
From the ashes,
you're saved. You're baptized properly in the Church of Like Faith. How about you make this your church? Not just some place you attend. How about you make it yours? Just as God says he's yours, he's your God. Just like you're his, he's yours. Just like that, this church could be yours. Just like you'd be ours as a family.
Won't you come and just
the
join?
The precious blood of Jesus Christ, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Our Father and our God, we love you and we are thankful to be in your house. We are thankful, oh God, that you have offered to let us partner with you. That if we'll be faithful stewards, if we'll honor you with our substance and with our tithes and offerings, God, that you will pour out a blessing that other people will see and want to know you over. I pray, Father, please use us as a delight to you, I pray, God, as we obey, as we honor you. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May I look this way.